Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take
it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hallgren along with Ken Evans, episode 283. And luckily for us, there is absolutely nothing to talk about. So we'll just hang out here for 45 minutes, do an interview with Joe Lozon, and be about our day. Did I lose you?
Are you talking to me?
You're doing your little intro. No, you're the other one on the show, so I have to eventually talk to you. Yes.
We're doing the intro thing.
That's quite all right. So obviously, I'm joking. This has been a ridiculous week for both the UFC, for professional wrestling, for MMA. It's just been clinically insane. Before we started the show, Ken and I were trying to figure out exactly where we would start, and we figured we'd start with the Stitch situation, as Stitch has been let go of the UFC, famed cut man. In fact, a little quick history lesson. He is one of the main reasons that the Lawler-Rory McDonald fight went as long as it did, because he's working his magic in the corner to make sure that these cuts don't end fights prematurely. So a big loss to the UFC that I think the impact of which hasn't been felt yet. But ideally what happened, or I said should say essentially what happened, is he went on a radio program and complained about the Reebok deal and was unceremoniously let go by the UFC. Fair to say that, Ken?
Well, I think it's fair to say that. I think he was asked his honest opinion on the Reebok deal and whether or not it affected him, and I think he let his opinion be known. I don't think he was overly critical of the Reebok deal. He just made a point that, hey, you know what, maybe we're so good at what we do, the UFC and Reebok both forgot to kind of cut us in on this, because what happened is essentially he lost any sponsorship money that he could have when he went to the ring as well. And everybody's been bitching about the sponsorship money, and everybody's been complaining about how they're going to make that money up as if they have some right to it. I get that. And I basically have said, as far as the fighters go, you're fighting for this organization. Coaches go, you're fighting and you're coaching in this organization. You know what you're getting there. In this situation with Stitch, I don't think he was saying that, hey, I've got to do this or else I'm quitting. What he did say was, I think we got left out and nobody thought about us, which is essentially what Reebok said, that they've already made their deal with UFC and the cut guys weren't included. UFC hires these guys to come to the cage, and they're some of the best in the business. I mean, these guys, usually in boxing, are hired by fighters specifically, depending on how good they are. Jacob Stitch Duran, one of the best in the business, you know, a lot of boxers like to have him in their corner, and he's been ubiquitous at UFC events over the past couple of years because he is one of the best guys in the business. So I get where you're coming from in this instance, Eric, where when you talk about things on social media or you say things to somebody in public, you have to be accountable for those. I just think the UFC really didn't expect the reaction they got here. And I think the reason they didn't expect the reaction they got is because they didn't really think that we, as a consumer group, thought a lot about the cut guys. And really, we didn't until something like this happens. You know, you don't know what you've got till it's gone kind of deal. And we realized, looking at this situation, not only are these guys keeping a fight like McDonald Lawler going, these guys are ultimately in there for fighter safety. These guys are ultimately in there to make sure that these guys, you know, aren't bleeding all over each other and in the cage, and that if something's too serious that they can't stop, that the fight's not stopped prematurely, and to kind of keep things going and evaluate in these situations. These are the first guys in there in the cage. They're there before the doctors. So, I mean, there's a lot going on with these cut guys, and a lot of fighters think they're integral to the process, which I also believe they are. I think the UFC overreacted considering the level of comments, which I don't think were that inflammatory. Do you, Eric?
Well, so let me just clarify, Ken. I know that we've been talking both online and offline about this for most of the week. Like, I don't think that firing him should have been the first thing that they did. What I said was, it's within their rights to do whatever it is that they feel is necessary, and apparently this is what they felt was necessary as a swift reaction to what is becoming a common occurrence with the Reebok deal. I don't disagree with you that Stitch is a mainstay in both boxing and MMA, and it's going to be a huge, huge loss. In the same way that there was those dark years that John McCarthy didn't ref for the UFC, right? Those were terrible years where you had some terrible reffing happening in the octagon, and you felt it, and they brought him back. Likely that's what's going to happen in this case. However, I still think two things. One, you're absolutely right. It was a step or two too far, and they don't know. You said it perfectly, right? They don't know what they're missing until he's gone, and they're going to miss him greatly when they get into one of these scraps and somebody gets hurt above the eye, and this lesser cut person, whoever that person might be, can't actually do the magic that Stitch was able to do, and some of these things are going to get stopped prematurely. And in a worst case scenario, like you said, he won't be there for the safety of said fighter, and somebody with less experience might not know what to look for. What I thought was super interesting was the tweet that Reebok sent out, which I thought was a really interesting response that was not echoed at all by the UFC. Reebok tweeted out a couple days ago, UFC fans, we have no input on the decisions of UFC employees or fighter compensation. Our focus is on providing the best gear for fighters and fans.
And I get that from Reebok, and I think UFC just overstepped here, and I think they stepped in it, and they didn't realize they stepped in it. And it's a situation where, if you look at a situation where, let's say Robbie Lawler didn't have a good cut guy in his corner, that fight could get stopped in the second or third round, and Robbie Lawler does not win that fight, and Robbie Lawler loses a championship there. I mean, that is the level we're talking about here with these cut guys. I'm very interested to see how this works moving forward. You know, I don't have any issue with the UFC and the Reebok deal. In fact, I've probably been one of those dudes where people kind of get pissed when they're listening to me, like, I can't believe you're not on the fighter's side here. I'm like, well, they know what they're signing up for. They know what promotion they're trying to work for. I'm very surprised, though, in a situation where guys just honestly saying, hey, yeah, I lost a big chunk. I might have to take some more boxing fights. You know, I might have to reevaluate this. The UFC just came charging very quickly, and I'm going to say it. It's Dana White did it, because the dude was up until like midnight 3 nights ago arguing with fans on Twitter about it.
Yeah,
like,
I have all the tweets pulled up. It's pretty crazy what he was doing.
It's very crazy, because, I mean, he's basically online calling people fat and morons and idiots. And, you know, Dana's always been a brash dude, and I think he's always come at it from a perspective of what's best for the UFC and really what's best for MMA. A lot of people will disagree with that. I believe that's where he's usually coming from. This just seems out of character. This just seems too far to one side for my liking, and I really am not a fan of this move. I know that the UFC was tracking subscription losses. There were a lot of people canceling UFC Fight Pass, and again, you cancel Fight Pass, you're not giving up on the UFC. You know, that's one of those things where, right, okay, you're gonna miss the Tuesday afternoon show from Glasgow or something like that.
Right.
That's more of a statement they're making, but it was very interesting to see. You see guys posting, you know, their comments on Reddit or their comments on Facebook, and some of these guys are saving screen caps, and you're much better versed at this than I am, but you can see that there's tracking notes on all of these emails that are going out when people cancel, and two of the tracking notes were Stitch and then Cutman. So clearly they're tracking cancellations because of this. Clearly it's gotten to a point where they feel like they need to track cancellations because of this. And I'm just very surprised by how vitriolic the outlash, the UFC has been, I guess I should say, in lashing out at not only, you know, basically Stitch Duran for what I thought was a relatively innocuous Reebok interview. Yeah, I'm not making as much money. I guess they didn't really think about us because we're too good at what we do. Yeah, that's essentially how it went. And I'm not lightening the tone any. Am I, Eric?
No, and what I think is interesting, Ken, is when you work in a different industry, right? We both work in the media industry in different variances. And when these industries make a change, a large change, and both of us have been through a lot of disruption, they don't do it in the public spectrum. And what do I mean by that? I mean, when the UFC deal was rolled out, it was rolled out with essentially a press release to the universe that was notifying the fighters and the fans at the exact same time. I know this because you'll hear Joe Lozon talk about this here later on when he joins the show. If you watch his video series leading up to Fox Chicago, you can see that the very first time he even sees any of the gear is last Friday when he goes to visit Reebok headquarters in Massachusetts. And that, I think, is where some of this reverse vitriol, as you called it, comes from, because they didn't bring all the fighters to Las Vegas during fight week in July and get them all in a conference room and go, hey, we're going to do this thing. This is what it means to you. This is how the six-year plan plays out, and I know you're going to feel some pain points here in the first year, so we're going to work through some other things to figure out how to make that work for you. Does anyone have any questions? And then they could ask questions. They just sent out a press release and then went on the offensive telling everybody that you're an effing idiot if you don't agree with what they're doing.
And again, from a standpoint of the UFC, you know, this isn't necessarily new. I think what's happened in the past, though, is that we've always had that in Dana we trust type of mentality for some of us in the media and some of us that are fans of the sport. I just don't understand the backlash here on what are good points in this discussion. I mean, how much are these dudes making? Do we want to shift it to the fighters? I mean, I also don't think I'd have a problem with that. I mean, if you've got a top fighter that wants Stitch in their corner, is the UFC going to say no? I mean, we joked a little bit last week. We were wondering about Fedor and Dan Henderson, and if you didn't link up on our Facebook and see it, we were wondering, you know, what that relationship like. It's not good.
You mean Randy Couture, not Dan Henderson?
Randy Couture. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at our old Dan Henderson Fedor fight pass right here in front of me.
That's all right.
So I screwed that up. Yeah, so I remember when he got knocked out in Chicago?
Yes. Yes, I do, because I was sitting right next to you when it happened.
It's interesting to see how pissed the UFC is in these regards. I mean, that's a guy they could conceivably use to do a lot of business with Fedor Emelianenko, and Dana just lashed right back at him. And again, he was a little more acerbic in his comments than Stitch Duran was, but still, it's very interesting in a way that you're looking at this and going, okay, are we a businessman at this point, or are we just really pissed because we expected everybody to love this and not everybody loves it, so you must be wrong? Because I'm wondering if their expectation level was just way off on this Reebok deal. I looked at it personally. Promotionally, they had to kind of do something like this at some point.
Sure, they did.
We had to kind of get rid of the crazy T-shirts. We had to get rid of Condom Depot. We had to do all these things. I mean, let's not forget, they accidentally let a dude in the ring with Nazi propaganda one time because they're just basically allowed to wear whatever they want. I mean, these are the things that they could not let happen again and again. So I understand the Reebok deal. It just seems hateful. At the least at this point.
Well, and it seems very, you know, when they talk about where they want to be in 5 years from now, it doesn't seem like this is the path to get there. I understand that in Dana we trust, and we've both been there, and by and large, I understand what they're doing as a business and get it. And I don't even disagree with what they're doing with Reebok. I just find it ponderous the way in which they did it, because I don't know that any other company, including the NFL, would roll out a new series of uniforms to the public and the fighters at the same time in a press release format.
Well,
I guess not expect this to happen. I guess is kind of the end of that thought.
And again, I don't think anything that's happened has been that terrible. I knew we would hear from some of the fighters, and we would, and we do. I knew we would hear from some of the coaches, and we did. You know, Stitch Duran is probably one of those dudes up until the point he's asked the question about it. I didn't think about it. Did you think about it, Eric?
No, I read it and thought, okay, well, that's interesting. Because again, to go back to our media roots, there's a fair amount of what we call in the industry a pain in the ass factor. Like how good you are at your job dictates the amount of insane things you can say before somebody takes an action. And I don't know Stitch personally. We've had him on the show. You know, I bumped into a couple of times at events, and he seems awesome. And everybody has been tweeting on his behalf, says the same thing. So this seems like it was just him taking a leadership position and trying to speak on behalf of the rest of the cut man as the senior cut man in that industry. And I don't know that he was necessarily out of play, especially if, again, you release the announcement via a press release to the fans and the fighters alike, and then don't have a list of ways in which you can and cannot talk about this. I mean, he's a contracted employee just like the fighter, so maybe in his contract he says he can't say anything about Reebok. I don't know that, and you don't know that. And if it does, then that's a different discussion, but we haven't seen that come out. And if it doesn't, then yeah, you've stepped over the line and you just made a gut reaction because you're probably tired of all the trolling that you're getting on Reddit and Twitter and Facebook and everywhere. And I understand that frustration, but as someone who's supposed to be leading this organization forward, forward and leading it into this uniform era where you're working with Reebok, I don't know that I would guess Reebok would respond in the same way if they had the same sort of thing happen to them in their own walls, meaning somebody saying at Reebok that Reebok stuff sucks. I don't know that they would be up till 1 o'clock in the morning on Twitter screaming at people who were agreeing or disagreeing with said employee.
Right. You don't think there's a dude at Reebok, though, that's getting paid to call people fat on Twitter?
I certainly don't think that there's one that's saying that all you're good for is drinking pizza or drinking Mountain Dew and eating pizza, because that was one of Dana's tweets as well.
Now you do a lot of social media seminars.
I also do a lot of
your secrets.
I also do a fair amount of Mountain Dew and pizza from time to time, so I take offense to that.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a course on how to call people fat and keep them engaged on social media?
I do not have that course, although I might draft.
Well, I think an expansion at this point was necessary.
Draft it up to my hate-filled social media seminar, where you can come and learn how to hate everyone and still gain followers.
Yeah, this is, again, and Dana White's done things like this before. This just feels the most tone-deaf and the most off-point for what they're actually trying to do. And I think that's why you're seeing such a backlash here. You see a cut guy. I mean, here's the other thing, too. For most of us, we watch UFC, and those are guys doing things that we can't ever even come close to. The relatability for the fighters is not there. We watch them because they're larger than life. They're faster than anybody else. They hit harder than anybody else. They've got a skill set that's in the top 10%, maybe 1% in the UFC of the world, and actually fighting and beating up another human being. We watch those guys because of that. The relatability comes in when this dude who's just trying to keep those guys standing up and keep those guys from bleeding gets fired because, you know what, he lost half his salary and he dared say something about it. Tell me that's not relatable. You know, the late, great Dusty Rhodes, those are hard times. And that's what the men and women who watch this are going to relate to. Like, you can cut a fighter, and we don't really feel it as a fan too much. If they're a very famous fighter, or there's somebody that we've got a personal investment with, or we've been watching them a long time, sure, we're going to feel that. But you watch this, and that could be you or me, man. That could be you or me. We're just doing our jobs every day. All of a sudden, half our money's gone. Somebody asks us about it and goes, yeah, man, half our money's gone. I don't know. I mean, hell, you and I both had that happen in our careers.
Right, for sure.
Hey, what's going on? Are we making? No, we're not making the same money. And it's like if we were just happened to talk to somebody about that and somebody goes, F you, I guess you're not making any money now. Get out of here. That's what it feels like. And it's a position that so many can relate to. And I think that's why this is so big for the UFC at this point. Think about it. If we would have said at the beginning of the week, hey, you know what we're going to do this week? We're going to have a 25-minute segment on the cut man in the UFC. You would have said we're insane.
Right.
But
that's what
we're doing right now, because that's what's happening. And they've really, you know, you're supposed to kind of bring the flames down when these kind of things happen. And all they've done is throw gasoline on the fire at this point. And I don't know why. I can't see the reasoning on this at the end. And again, maybe they're smarter than I am. Maybe Dana White's got a bigger game plan than you and I can figure out. But usually we can find some nugget in there like, oh, I see what they're trying to do. Okay, yeah, the fighters, it sucks. They lose sponsors. But you know what? You can't accidentally walk in there with a rebel flag on. We don't know what's going to happen next. Coaches, sponsors, line up with the Reebok deal. Here's your cut of it. This is how the UFC works now. And we understand that thought process. It's not great for the fighters. Nobody's arguing that, but it's a step forward that has to be done, and this has to be done, so this other thing can be done. In this regard, you fired the guy because he told everybody that he doesn't have a deal. We know he doesn't have a deal. And somebody else noticed and said, hey, man, did this affect you? Because you don't have anything on now that you're going to the cage. It just seems stupid.
It totally seems stupid, and I mean, we'll have to see if they backpedal, because it's the one thing the UFC is actually very great at is backpedaling. They've had to do it a number of times over the course of not only the history of the organization, but even more recently. And you know, to make a segue to the other part of the week that is, they're not having a very great week. If you watched HBO Real Sports this week, you got to see that they also have a huge problem with domestic violence, which was another black eye, no pun intended, on the sport of MMA. So if you missed it, essentially what happened is they went in depth on the War Machine Christy Mack case, in which War Machine attacked Christy Mack and a gentleman that she was currently sleeping with, and put both of them in the hospital. Christy Mack has been getting surgery over the course of a year to get back to what she was prior to the attack. And it was a really damning look at mixed martial arts and the things that are happening in mixed martial arts. In fact, at one point in the piece, they go on to show the number of domestic violence instances on average in the United States. They compare it to the NFL, which is actually lower than the United States, and then compare it to MMA as a sport as a whole, which is nearly 2.2 times more than the national average. So, you know, this is a point that, you know, I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time talking because it ends up just getting into the weeds, but something to pay attention to as you're seeing guys like War Machine do these horrific acts. And they interviewed Mayhem Miller, and Ken, I don't know if you watched it, but they interviewed Mayhem Miller, who was clinically insane at this point and was arrested 2 days after the interview for assaulting yet another woman while being on trial for assault of a prior woman. So another thing for the UFC and MMA as a whole to try and muddy the waters through, or I guess get through and figure out how to make that better. I don't know. I mean, your thoughts on that?
Well, I understand what HBO's Real Sports was doing, and I don't necessarily think this was off base, but I mean, you could do this story about any sport. Yes, it looks bad for MMA, and the fact that these dudes actually go into a cage and beat people up and then this happens, you have to think that there's some type of connection there with what they're doing and what happens. But I mean, if you really look at it, you've got a dude in every single line of work that's done something like this. And I'm not making excuses for those dudes. I'm saying, you know, MMA can feel like it's getting picked on in this regard. I'm not saying they shouldn't do the story. This is like the stuff that Real Sports actually does really well when they look at these stories. But I certainly don't like the framing of this as some type of indictment of MMA, which is some of the summary I saw, which is some of the discussion I saw about it this past.
There certainly was some broad
like MMA's domestic violence problem. Actually, it's America's domestic violence problem. Right. The world's domestic violence problem, you know?
For sure. I just, you know, and again, when you watch these things, there's obviously a bias as they're trying to tell the story that they want to tell. But in the week that you're dealing with one PR nightmare to have another PR nightmare, and only to make matters worse, because as you and I are indicating, there is some threat to going on Real Sports and doing an interview with them because of the way that they tell the story. Not that I I'm defending any of these scumbags that are engaging in this sort of thing, but there was clearly a lean into the story, and the UFC did not do an interview with them, which in, I think, the court of public opinion obviously makes people wonder why they wouldn't do an interview about.
Yeah, but I mean, what are they going to say? I mean,
I'm agreeing.
Press release out and say that, we don't support this. Of course not. What are you, an idiot? You know, that's when Dana White could rightfully start calling people morons on Twitter. Of course we don't support what War Machine did. Of course we don't support what Mayhem Miller did. Nobody does that's in their right mind. We don't support what Ray Rice did either.
Correct, but much like Ray Rice, they have the Thiago Silva case to deal with. They have the fact that Anthony Rubble Johnson, while his latest instance of domestic violence, is something that's being debated, the prior two are not being debated. And then you have Grisby, who gets arrested for three times in 1 week for assaulting his wife. So, I mean, there are things to talk about. And in when Dana White goes on SportsCenter and says you never come back from domestic violence, and in 4 minutes HBO can show you five guys that are in the UFC that are still fighting that have a record that includes one or many counts of domestic violence, that's where I think you probably should have a conversation about what you're doing to make it a better place overall.
And I think that's fair. I just think that you could put that list up with any sport. And again, not that they shouldn't shine a light on those dudes or this industry, but let's just remember this isn't, again, MMA's domestic violence problem. This is really sports in the United States, the domestic problem, the domestic violence issue. So I that's the only thing I didn't like was probably more the reaction to the piece. I didn't have any issue with the piece in and of itself. What I've seen, I haven't seen the whole piece, so I don't want to say that because I don't know exactly what's in the whole thing. But I just some of the reaction, MMA's domestic violence problem, I think is overstating it. It's certainly something we look at and we'd be cognizant of. But we do it in all aspects. You know, it's not just MMA.
Totally. Just like we might want to handle the, you know, America's racism problem as opposed to making it the WWE Hulk Hogan racism problem. But we'll talk about that
next. Well, no, I mean, have you seen some of those characters? They're pretty racist in WWE.
Fair enough.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will talk to Joe Lauzon. He is fighting at UFC on Fox 16 in Chicago this weekend, the rematch between Dillashaw and Brow. And then after that, we will break down the card and talk to you about what's coming up next, as we got Ronda Rousey on August 1st. And then we finally have a card for Condit and Lawler. It is really close to being inked, and we'll talk about it next. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. Eric Hallgren along with Ken Evans, and our pleasure to welcome to the show once again one of our dear friends and a guy we love having on the show, fighting this week against Takanori Gomi. It is Joe Lauzon. Joe, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
It is going fantastic, my friend. First, I want to wish you a happy National Hot Dog Day and hope that your weight is on point enough that you can get a hot dog today in Chicago. Since
I didn't even know it was National Hot Dog Day. I'm so sad.
So let me start there, because I love the videos that you're doing, but I'm always fascinated how you watch some fighters that just suffer through this week to make weight, and you're like consistently eating hamburgers. How do you do that?
So I think that some guys, like, I have a really fast metabolism. Like, I've tried eating super clean, and honestly, like, I waste away. I lose strength. Like, I just fall to pieces. So I have to kind of eat a little bit more than most people. And but I'm very, very good at kind of tracking my weight falling. So, like, I know, like, if I have this big, huge cheeseburger, what that's going to do to my weight. I know what it's going to do in 2 days. And you know, and I'm not the biggest lightweight. So, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with, you know, eating what I want. And, you know, being smart about what I'm eating, but eating what I want for the most part, and, you know, maybe playing up to the camera a little bit.
No, you would never do that, right?
Never. Like, so, like, I posted the first video blog we posted here, and I ate this huge cheeseburger. And, I mean, I ate, like, 3/4 of it, you know, but the video blog, as far as you're concerned, I'm eating the whole entire thing, you know? So I still eat like a fat kid. If I could live on, like, Chipotle and Subway and Time Guys, I would die a happy man, but...
That's hilarious.
You know, I'm not. There's like healthy places around here, and I don't want that stuff.
Right, no, why would you? Absolutely. So this weekend, UFC on Fox in Chicago. Yeah. You and Takanori Gomi. This is such an awesome fight, and I can only imagine, having watched your career in the UFC, that these are the types of fights that, I mean, you're excited for every fight, but this seems like one that you would be super fired up for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pumped about it. Gomi's one of those guys. He's a legend in the sport. You know, back a few years ago, he was the best in the world. So I'm excited. He's a guy that, like, I used to watch, like, highlight videos of, and, like, I still have, like, videos on my computer of watching him from, you know, years ago. So I'm excited about it. You know, like, the second they even mentioned it, I was, you know, I got, you know, started, like, you know, breaking out in sweats a little bit, you know, really pumped about it. I think stylistically, you know, he's a great striker. I'm great on the ground. I think we're both pretty good at the other spots, but, you know, like, I think the fight's really going to be dictated by, you know, how quickly I can get him down to the ground and beat him up and wear him down there.
Absolutely. And you know, that's obviously what people are excited about. Both of you guys come into this with a high finish record. So, you know, they're calling it the People's Main Event, and I think that's a very apt title for this, and I'm super excited. How did camp go for you? It looked like, and again, you were indicating earlier that you play some of the stuff up to the camera, but it looked like camp went pretty well. You're in great shape. You don't seem like you're dinged up too badly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in good shape. I'm ready to go. I mean, at every camp, we start accumulating little tiny injuries, like nagging things, you know. It could be anything. Sore knee, sore elbow, sore wrist, sore hand, you know, sore neck, sore back, whatever. So, I mean, at every camp, I feel like everything gets dinged up a little bit. But overall, I feel really, really good. I feel really confident about, you know, what we do at camp. And I think that people kind of forget sometimes, like, people are like, oh, these fighters need to be smart about how they train. You know, there's so many injuries. Like, do you realize what we do on a daily basis? Like, you need to come and, like, follow us around for a day, for a week, and see all the stuff we do every single day. And it takes, like, one misstep, one little slip, one little bad angle, whatever, you know? So, but overall, we're in good shape. We're really happy about how camp went. So we're ready to go.
Joe, do you feel that the technology, though, is catching up to the fact that it's helping you guys stay healthier longer? You know, things like the chambers that you guys are jumping into and some of the other technologies that you can use to, you know, heal your body faster. Is that helping with that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely some of that stuff. I think that just overall, that just training ideas has changed quite a bit. I think that years ago, people would lift, like, you know, they would squat, do all sort of stuff, so, like, they could hardly walk, and they're walking all bow-leg and everything else. But I think guys are a lot smarter now, and they realize that, you know, hitting a personal record in your squat is not going to help you in fighting, you know. So I think just overall training, you know, methods have changed quite a bit and gotten a lot better. But, yeah, technology stuff is always – honestly, I think ice is magic. You know, I think if more people just, you know, just took care of their injuries right from the start and they iced things right off the bat, I think they would do a lot better. You know, so, but technology has definitely helped. I think that, you know, training methods have improved. I think people watch a lot more tape and kind of, you know, break it down. We film all my sparring, which is a huge advantage, a huge asset, you know, so I can actually, instead of my coach telling me, oh, you're dropping your left hand, I can actually, you know, watch footage of that. Oh, yeah, I am dropping my left hand. And I think it's a little bit clearer. You know, it's much, much better when I can see it myself.
Joe Lauzon joining us, UFC on Fox in Chicago this weekend. If you are not a huge fan of Joe Lauzon, you might not know this, but I do. He is a super big fan of video games, so I'd be remiss not to ask you, coming out of E3, what things are you looking forward to this year in the video game universe?
I'm excited about a whole bunch of things. I'm not sure what it announced at E3. I think it was about the, like, I'm pumped about the new Xbox controller. I'm an Xbox guy, and, you know, like, so Scuf Gaming has always made really, really good controllers with, like, basically buttons on the bottom of the controller. You can do extra stuff. And Xbox is going to basically come out with their own controller. It's going to do that. So I think that's really exciting. I'm excited about Fallout, which is coming out, I think, this fall, which I think was announced a little bit before. But,
yep.
You know, I'm a huge gamer. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think I'm looking forward to this fight being over so I can go home and buy a PlayStation 4 and buy Arkham Knight. Just because, you know. It's going to be – I dragged my feet about buying a PlayStation 3 before. I always had a 360, and I dragged my feet about buying a PlayStation 3. And by the time I was like ready to buy it, like, it was kind of – they were already talking about the PS4. So I'm like, I'm not going to drag my feet this time. I'm going to get a PS4 too. So I think when I go home, that's what I'll be doing.
Well, it sounds like you haven't played Arkham Knight. You'll really dig it. I know you like the other two, so it's very good.
Yeah, I heard really, really good things. And I was going to buy it for Xbox, but because I was, you know, I knew I was going to buy the PlayStation 4, I kind of waited on it. I didn't want to buy it right before the fight. I was ready to buy it like a month ago. I'm like, I'm gonna wait. There's gonna be a distraction. I can't deal with it.
That's funny. It's funny because most fighters I talk to, they're excited about food, and you want to play as Batman, which I admire greatly.
Yeah, because I have all my food. I mean,
right? Because you don't suffer through the weight loss like most people do. So the other thing I wanted to ask you about, without getting in the weeds on it, is you've obviously had a little bit of an internet troll-rific sort of week. I wanted to ask you, you know, you talked about what happened to Stitch this week being let go by the UFC, and that's not necessarily what I want to ask you about. What I want to ask you about, though, is for people who don't know kind of the inside baseball on the side of the UFC, do they do things where they're teaching you guys about the ramifications of social? Because, you know, some of the interactions that you had with people were a lot of people going, well, how come he can't speak his mind, and it would be illegal in this state and illegal in this country? And they seem to forget that one of the things that social allows you to do is certainly have a voice, but the consequence of that free speech, I think, is lost on a lot of people. So is that something that the UFC spends time with fighters talking about, or are you just kind of on your own to figure it out?
The UFC does every year, they do what they call the Fighter Summit. But I don't think they take every single fighter, but they take, like, probably two-thirds of us, you know, so you get it pretty much every other year. And, you know, they basically talk to us about, you know, being smart about what we're putting out on social media, whether it's Twitter and Facebook or this or that. You know, there's guys that put out stuff that, like, you know, it shouldn't be you airing out every little bit of dirty laundry you want. Now, there is ramifications for anything you say. And the big thing on, like, the whole Stitch thing was that, like, my greater point, I think it got lost a little bit, was that, you know, you need to be smart about who you're talking to. You can't go and air, you know, issues and things like that out in the public like that and complain about bosses and things like that, because there will be ramifications. You know, like, if you want to talk to your bosses, talk to them. You want to talk to your friends, talk to them. Don't go and put it out there publicly like that. And I think that just, you know, anyone, if you are complaining about your bosses, talk about how much you hate something and condemning them and doing this and that, you know, there's going to be a lot of backlash, you know, from your bosses. You know, it's not going to go well for you. You know, maybe you don't get fired, but maybe you don't get that next promotion. You don't get this better deal. You know, there's always ramifications for what you say and what you put out there. And that's kind of what I was saying. I thought it was not done in the best way. And maybe my message got a little twisted, but that was what I was trying to get at.
Well, that's essentially what the internet does, right? Is take facts and twist them to suit.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Like, it's really crazy. Like, people are, like, they're attacking Reebok over this, and, like, you know, and it's crazy. It's like, people, like, if people want to attack Reebok over, you know, a UFC decision, that's like everyone attacking Coke or Pepsi over FIFA or something like that. It's like, oh, you know, it's like, oh, man, I'm never buying Coke again. It's like, you need to relax. You need to take a step back and think about what you're doing. But I think that, especially like with like online message boards or online communities, you get kind of like a mob mentality. And if they're trying to already go anti-Reebok, anti-UFC, you're trying to complain about something, that's just, you know, any excuse will do. Anything can be twisted to kind of tell the story and support the story that they're trying to, you know, their agenda. So it's unfortunate.
Absolutely. Joe Lozon joining us, UFC on Fox in Chicago. And Joe, I don't know what email inbox I would send this to, but if you're not the one teaching the social part of the Fighter Summit, they might want to reconsider that because, I'm dead serious.
Maybe when I'm done fighting.
You know, well, I'm dead serious. Like, if you follow along with the branding and the marketing that you're doing on your own with, you know, not being assisted by the machine that is the UFC, people in your industry should be following that model because I think you've got it on lockdown. And I think what you're doing is brilliant. And I wanted to have the opportunity to say that to you. So good luck this weekend. Love what you're doing. Have an awesome weekend. And if you have an opportunity to get a hot dog today, you might want to do that.
I might make it a priority to get a hot dog. And I appreciate it. You know, and I've gotten a lot of hate over all the stitch stuff. So I'm glad to hear some people do agree with me.
Well, I mean, most of those people, and I'm probably going to get hate for this, but most of those people likely don't have jobs that require you to keep some sort of mode of decorum. Mine does, so I appreciate
it. I think another part of it is that, like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, I'm not willing to say publicly about, like, things that, you know, like, that have happened that, you know, not that, that, you know, that it just is not my place to say, that I happen to have firsthand information of this stuff. And they don't. So, I you know, it's kind of tough to go and make them see my point when there's a lot of pieces that I can't, you know, tell
totally.
Them.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, but that's part, not to cut you off, but that's part of it, Joe, right? It's like you have a professional obligation, and so you can't air all the dirty laundry to defend the other person that's airing dirty laundry.
Yep. You know, like I'm personally involved with the UFC, and I have, like, a lot of connection to the UFC, and I know what's going on behind me. It'd be like me calling in and telling you what you need to change about your radio show. It's like, I don't know. I'm not there. It's like, how could I ever think that I know more than you when you're doing it every single day? And I'm just reading an article I'm seeing online. You know, like, it's crazy to me.
That said, your feedback's more than welcome, Joe.
I appreciate it. All
right. Have an awesome weekend, dude. Can't wait to see the fight. You, Takanori Gomi, live on Fox this weekend. Joe Lozon, have an awesome day. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Holmgren, along with Ken Evans, breaking down everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We were talking about depressing topics in the first segment. Now we move on to really fun topics as the UFC on Fox comes to Chicago. UFC on Fox 16, it is the rematch between TJ Dillashaw and Hennen Burrell. And rumors we are getting this morning that Hennen has already made weight unofficially, so we don't have to worry about him being sent to the hospital, which was what happened the first time, and then Dillashaw got hurt. So this, Ken, is a rematch that's 14 months in the making and comes off the heel of the lowest rated pay-per-view in the history of the company, headlined by these two in the prior engagement.
Oh, I thought you meant the last pay-per-view.
No, not at all.
Oh. That's not good. That's not possible.
That is not possible, nor is it true. But the last time these guys fought on pay-per-view, it was the lowest rated one, which feeds into our theory about guys like Demetrius Johnson and certainly TJ Dillashaw and Hennen Burrell, that they're just, as much as the fights are fantastic, they're just not draws for people to shell out $60.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting point you make there. I think that where we're going back to 170-something, 173.
Something like that, yeah. Yes.
Well, interesting, because I think we had Daniel Cormier on that card too, right? That was a fun card. It just, I feel like when you get to these headliners, you got to get heavier than these dudes at this point. And I think that's not me hating on any of these divisions. It's just shown at this point that that's the case, and that's what's happening here. You know, they tricked me into buying the Mighty Mouse pay-per-view, by the way. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, you did tell me that. But, I mean, to be fair, like they were saying to you on Twitter when you were complaining about it, essentially you got one of them for free, so pretend it's the Mighty Mouse one.
Well, okay, that's fine. I bought a three-pack when the McGregor fight was on my PlayStation, and I thought, I kept my fingers crossed that they wouldn't dare try to do this. I'm wondering if I'm the only dude, like, you know how we always wonder, like, who's buying these? I didn't realize they were doing these deals. I wonder if they're always, like, the third fight that's not quite announced yet when it's a Mighty Mouse fight. So, anyways, I mean, bantamweight title fight, I think, on Fox with Hennen Burrell, perfect place to be.
I mean, I'm very interested to see this fight on Fox this weekend. We also know that the time issues that I complain about over and over again aren't going to be an issue because Fox isn't going to let them run this stupid thing until 2 in the morning on Sunday night. So
there's
a lot of things lining up here. I mean, you know, you're going to talk to Joe Lozon. That's going to be fun with the Gomi fight. Misha Tate. I really enjoy Misha Tate. I know every time she goes in against Ronda, she gets thrown around the cage like there's no tomorrow. But I don't know why. I really enjoy watching her fight. And, you know, she said after this fight that she'll fight Cyborg next. She doesn't care. So, I mean, how fun would that be? Because we made Cyborg do her Invicta fight and fight at the weight class. Now how fun would it be to see, you know, I think Misha Tate probably is right there behind Ronda. Or I'm not right there, but she behind Ronda is probably the most famous female fighter that's active at this point because of the fights with Ronda. That would be a fun fight. I think that'd be a draw to see Misha Tate take on Cyborg. And obviously, if she gets past Jessica Ai this weekend, that's something that could happen. She said she wants it.
Yeah, she did, but she also said she wanted it 5 pounds heavier because Cyborg hasn't made the weight yet. She won her title at 145. She hasn't gone down to 35 yet. So Misha Tate saying, look,
She did the one Invicta fight at 35, right?
She did one at 35, but the last one that she just did that she defended the belt was at 45. And so, you know, she hasn't done this yet. And I think it remains to be seen if it even can be done on a regular basis. Because like we've said before, that would be the nightmare scenario is that she gets down, beats Ronda, and then can't do it again in the same way that Henan Barao held the belt, lost it to Dillashaw, and then nearly died, you know, dropping the weight again, saying that perhaps maybe when we get rid of IVs in October, you might want to go up to 145 because it's just not safe for you to drop all of this weight. That said...
I'm just learning that. We're getting rid of the IVs?
Yeah, in October, they're going to ban IVs, which was why last week everybody was all bent out of shape because Jose Aldo said, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. What are they going to do? And that's it's a terribly... not popular opinion, it's certainly something that's going to be very hard for the UFC to stop because all it's going to take is somebody that the UFC doesn't know that Jose Aldo knows that gets a hotel room. You know, I mean, there's a million ways for them to cheat.
Yeah, IVs, I don't want to make it sound too simple, but IVs aren't that hard.
They're not that hard, and all you have to do is go to a fire department and say that you're lightheaded and they'll give you an IV. So, I mean, there's ways around this that have nothing to do with the UFC. So whether or not that's actually a useful... mode to get people to be closer to their weight is irrelevant to this discussion. I'm with you at 140. I think that's a great test for Cyborg. Drop 5 pounds, take on Misha Tate, who I think if she beats Jessica Ai this weekend, becomes one of those top tier fighters that just maybe she's just one of those fighters that just can't get by Ronda Rousey. You know, Ronda is the kryptonite, just like in all these other divisions. You know, when you look at Weidman right now is the kryptonite. You can't get by Weidman. John Jones was the kryptonite. You'd have brilliant fighters like Gustafson who, you know, could beat everybody else but just couldn't beat John Jones. There's something to be said about Misha Tate if she beats Jessica Ai that maybe that maybe the Cyborg fight is the thing she should do next, because I'm not really sure anyone wants to see a trilogy with her and Ronda Rousey, save for you who loves trilogies or five-part fights when the one fighter has lost all five fights.
Well, I just think in certain cases that's reasonably what you get when you try to mix the business and who's deserving in this business with that. So I think that'll be interesting. I think there's a lot of fun things at play on this card, and the fact that it's on Fox this weekend I think bodes really well for either TJ Dillashaw or Henan Barao, whoever ends up winning that fight. I do think it's going to be Barao this time. I do think he wins that other fight. I do. I think Barao, I don't think he, remember when he went into the Dillashaw fight, that's when the hype train was at its highest, I guess as high as you can be for a bantamweight guy, but that's when the hype train was at its highest, man. Nobody's going to beat this guy ever. And you've got to believe some of that seeps into the camp, some of that seeps into the trainers, and some of that seeps into the fighters. And it's not necessarily an instance where he wasn't ready for the fight, but that expectation level changes and changes and changes every time you win a fight. And everybody was saying, Henan Barao, man, nobody's going to beat him ever. I mean, he just beat Uriah Faber. He beat Uriah not too long ago. He's beat everybody in the division. I mean, who's left at this point? So he goes into that fight with Dillashaw, and, you know, he's in a fight. He gets caught. That head kick and then the punches, and he's done. And he lost his title. I mean, he went five rounds. I think it was an interesting fight looking back at it. I mean, it was more back and forth than I remember in a rewatch this week. So I thought at first Dillashaw had handily won that, but I'm seeing the fight, and I don't know. I think Hennen's going to be fired up for this fight.
I don't know. I just think TJ's got his number, and I mean this in all seriousness. I think while Hennen has rumored to have made the cut, we won't know until an hour from now, 5 o'clock, when they actually do the weigh-ins. I think Hennen has made the weight, and that's great. But I think some of these cuts on these guys just wears them out, and Dillashaw I think he's developed into a fighter that's going to be one of those dudes that, in my opinion, and I could be totally wrong on Saturday night, I see him as the Demetrius Johnson of this division for a while. That's going to be really, really hard to beat. Now, that's not going to make him any more of a pay-per-view draw, because, again, you still got the same issue that there's not much about TJ Dillashaw that's super exciting or super marketable. Because he's just not really great at trash talking, and he doesn't do too many, you know, exciting things outside of the cage. So you're going to see a lot of these on Fox cards, and I think that's fine. That's where these things should be, because you guarantee this fight is going to be great, even if you can't get people to give you $60 for it.
Yeah, and I think again, this is where this fight should live, which is on a Fox TV card, and probably around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, because you guarantee people are going to watch it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I'm with you on Miesha Tate. I think she'll beat Jessica Eye. I'd like to see Edson Barboza beat Paul Felder. Paul Felder's undefeated. That's going to be another great fight. And at the bottom of the card, he just joined us a minute ago, Joe Lozon taking on Takanori Gomi, which I think is going to be an amazingly fun fight between two guys who are grizzled veterans who each have a skill set that they are very much better at it than the other one. Gomi is better at striking than Lozon is. Lozon is way better on the ground than Gomi is, and I think that's going to be a fun game to see who can execute their game plan first. And it's not like both of these guys are unranked at 155 at this point, so it's not like beating one guy or the other moves you anywhere, but this is a fun fight for the fans and something that should be on Fox at 8 o'clock at night on a Saturday night.
I'm in.
And then the other news I alluded to earlier, we have a date, UFC 194. That is going to be in Calgary. It will be Robbie Lawler versus Carlos Condit, and Tyron Woodley and Johnny Hendricks will be the backup plan should there be any injuries leading into that. So excited for that to happen. That'll be obviously in the fall. October-ish is the tentative date, so look for that to happen. But we've got Robbie Lawler's next defense against Carlos Condit, Woodley and Hendricks for the number one contender slot or the accident slot. If they need one, and then
is that the Mighty Saddle Dome in Calgary, Alberta, Canada?
Is that the Saddle Dome? It should be the Saddle Dome. Hang on,
I believe it's in the Saddle Dome. December 5th is the date that I remember hearing on that one.
Does it say in the Saddle Dome? I don't see the Saddle Dome, but we'll just pretend it's the Saddle Dome.
It's going to be this. Well, if you go to Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and you don't go to the Saddle Dome, I don't know why you even bought the tickets on the flight.
Fair enough. But, I mean, that's a super exciting fight. And you and I both love when they do this, when they put – and it's interesting that 170 has been the weight class where they can do this consistently. They have 10 world-class fighters that they can just put in co-main events that you're just likely to go, oh, that guy's fighting for the title? I'm all in on that one, too. Because I think – I don't know that you would blink at Robbie Lawler and Woodley or Robbie Lawler or Hendricks and Robbie Lawler or Carlos. All three of those guys –
you can take all of those combinations and put them together.
And that's what I love about this card. So UFC 194, that's when you'll check that out. It also, if you were paying attention to Dana White, in between him screaming at all of the fans, he actually gave some interesting tidbits about what's happening in the world of mixed martial arts. It appears that Weidman is going to be back in action in December, and that might be New Jersey, since it doesn't look like they're going to get New York done. It also feels like they're going to, he alluded to going back to Poland. Their next Florida card is going to be Orlando, not Miami. People were asking about Miami. And we'll wait and see when John Jones comes back. There was no details on that. And it looks like Kane is scheduled to get back in the octagon early in 2016. So look for, maybe that card Super Bowl-ish that Ken and I are rumored to be talking about to get Jose Aldo and McGregor in, because I think that timing would be perfect.
Perfect to the point that we've had to wait for like 10 months to see McGregor.
But I mean,
again,
you know, it looks like the rest of the year is locked up, though, at least as far as I'm looking. So I don't know.
Maybe we could see Weidman headline New Year's Eve along with McGregor.
Yeah, I guess you could see that.
I mean, I don't know what that leaves for Super Bowl weekend, if that's still a thing we have to try to book. But, I mean, I just think that's too long. And I know you guys can download last week if you want to hear that discussion. It just seems too long.
No, it totally seems too long, but it just feels like the rest of the year is getting booked up pretty quickly. I don't know where you scoot him into. And if Ronda fights in August, you easily could put Ronda on Super Bowl weekend, assuming she comes out of that injury free. I just think you could figure it out. And I don't know. I mean, there was an article, I think Jonathan Snowden wrote an article on MMA fighting this week that they were talking about. No, Bleacher Report. Sorry. They were talking about the sheer what we've talked about a lot, the sheer number of events that the UFC has year in and year out, and that perhaps this model of 12 pay-per-views is way too big anyway. So maybe they would take some of that advice and pare it down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, did I send you that calendar we talked about last week?
No, you told me about it, but then they never send it to me to break my Outlook calendar with all the
Sorry,
MMA stuff that I have to do.
I do things a lot.
Yeah.
It's just how I roll. I like, just not keep promising. So I'll try to send that to you. It's really funny, too. I don't know. Maybe we can link it up on Facebook. When you actually load this thing in and just start seeing all the UFC events roll into your calendar, it's insane. It's insane. So I'll link that up on Facebook. You can get it there with the rest of the listeners.
All right, and then all weekend long, follow along with the results. The weigh-ins happen today at 5 o'clock. You can get that off our Facebook page at Wow Show. And then the fight's tomorrow night on Fox, UFC on Fox 16, live from my hometown of Chicago. Deep dish pizza, Chicago-style hot dogs, and TJ Dillashaw remaining champion, even though Ken wants Hennen Burrell to win.
Are you going to make one of those casseroles this weekend?
Sure,
in honor
yeah,
of that,
I will absolutely make a deep dish pizza hot dog casserole in honor of that if you want to come over and watch TJ Dillashaw remain champion. If you're in for
Fair
that, I'll make it. All right, we'll catch you next week. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.